Lesson 49 and the history and geography of the Bible story. According to the recording that I listened to again, we're supposed to be getting into chapter 25, but we had some discussion about people that we were talking about. So I have some things here, and I think that all of you have done probably massive amounts of research to check it all out. So we are actually talking about Paul's years of imprisonment, and if we look at the area where we are at the Bible, we were just about to enter into chapter 25, and as we realize here in chapter 25, we're just now beginning to talk about Festus. However, we had some discussion about three of the people that were discussed in this particular context. So when we look at the person before Festus, who are we talking about?
Felix.
So I looked on the Master Knowledge of All the Universe Wikipedia article, and anybody else do some looking up of Felix? Know what his full name was, for example? What? No, Felix the cat. I hadn't thought about him in quite a while. According to Wikipedia, apparently his full name is Marcus Antonius Felix. And so, according to this article anyway, he was preceded. And of course, we don't know many of these people because they're just not mentioned in the Bible because they were not important. But he was preceded by somebody named Ventidius Caminus. And of course, we realize he was succeeded by who? Yeah, Porcius Festus. This article says that Felix was the procurator of Judea from about 52 to about 58 A.D. All right. So, does anybody else have any thoughts about Felix himself? I think was it Felix that you were talking about from your notes last week, Carolyn, or was it Festus?
Sorry.
I think the notes that you had kind of agreed with what Wikipedia.
He was unscrupulous.
We're talking about Felix, right? Yeah, okay.
Again, these are sketchy. Supposedly reduced crime on highways, but he was also a tyrant. You know, like any politician thinks back. Assassins rose up, and is that the origin of the word assassin from that group that wreaked havoc, and that's where we came together with assassins. Something about that.
There was something about assassins,
a lot
yeah.
Of, like unrest as well.
Right.
Like. And then he was known for low ethics. I wrote that he was a former slave. I don't know his life story, but I wrote that. And Drusilla was his third wife.
Okay, so this was the third wife because they were mentioning, seemed like he was married to two Drusillas. And, it says here under marriage and issues, Felix was married three times. His first wife was Drusilla of Mauritania, the elder, daughter of Cleopatra Selene II and Juba II of Numidia, and sister to Ptolemy of Mauritania. As it goes on, and Felix's second wife was Drusilla of Judea, daughter of Herod Agrippa I and Cypros. And then Drusilla of Judea, this is his second wife, divorced Gaius Julius Azizus, a king of Emesia, to marry him. They had a son. I'm not sure who the third wife was.
Complicated at any rate.
Felix is married, at the end it says, oh, I see, that's right. Apparently, the second wife of his was one of the people that was killed in the eruption at Pompeii. So it says here, after the eruption, Felix married for a third time, but little is known about his third wife. But it's kind of hard to know. I mean, so many of these people are, everybody seems to have the same name. I mean, there's Agrippa's all over the
first and second wife have the same name.
Yeah. So there's Agrippas all over the place, there's Herods all over the place, there's Ptolemies all over the place, and everybody seems to have the same name. But here, talking about whether he was a slave or not, it says Felix was the younger brother of the Greek freedman Marcus Antonius Pallas. Pallas served as a secretary of the treasury during the reign of Emperor Claudius. Felix was a Greek freedman, either by Claudius, according to which theory Josephus calls him Claudius Felix. And then there's some other thing about Claudius's mother, Antonia, whatever. According to Tacitus, Pallas and Felix descended from the Greek kings of Arcadia. Felix became the procurator by the petition of his brother. So his brother Pallas apparently had a lot of influence with the emperors in Rome. Pallas, apparently, P-A-L-L-A-S, stayed in Rome. I guess all that's where he lived. And so he was close to the emperors, and he was able to petition Claudius a couple of times for favors for his brother. And one of the reasons why then Felix got this procuratorship in Judea. Now, apparently this was a position lower than that of Herod Agrippa II, who had much greater territory. So apparently both Felix and later on Festus were under this Herod Agrippa II as being what they refer to as the king. He had a larger territory and then apparently had more, had these procurators underneath him as the people that actually did the day-to-day duty of terrorizing people, whatever they did. They have down here Felix's cruelty and licentiousness, coupled with his accessibility to bribes, led to a great increase of crime in Judea. The period of his rule was marked by internal feuds and disturbances, which he put down with severity. So that's probably where he reduced the people that were robbers and things like that.
Like an early form of the mafia.
Yeah.
You bribe people and then you protect some and attack the others.
That's right. You right. You get the, you buy protection. Jenny?
I remember I thought that Felix was listed on the family tree of the Herods that you had shown earlier. So I was checking through it. He, by marriage, he's on that tree because Drusilla was daughter of Herod Agrippa I.
Right.
But that also means that Drusilla was related to the Hasmoneans because she was descended from the line where Herod the Great had married Mariamne.
Right.
So she would have been considered somewhat of Jewish royalty because the Hasmoneans were in power at the time that Rome came.
Right. Now the Hasmoneans were the ones that were like conquered by the Jews, and they were the one, they were in the area to the east, whatever that was, that Idumea? Isn't that, I think that's the way that the Herods work. They were not people that lived in Judea, I don't think, to begin with.
The Herods weren't Judean, but
right.
He married a Hasmonean, and she was, like, the Maccabees were the ones that were taking care of the military of that time, and the Hasmoneans were the Jewish leaders with the Maccabees.
Okay. Melissa, did you have a
thought? Herod's Idumean?
Idumean, that's what I thought. And I think that was the, like, the province to the east of Judea and sort of to the south where Petra is today. I mean, the people that lived there, I think, to the south, to the east and to the south of Judea were these people who were the Idumeans, I think. The problem is that you know, there's a lot of traditional names for these things that the Jews and the local people call them, and then when the Greeks or the Romans moved in, of course they renamed everything because they wanted to use their own, you know, language and stuff like that, and they named all of these things differently. So now we have a province of Idumea that really I don't think is a province that we find a lot of discussion about in the New Testament. I don't think we have any of it in the Old Testament. I'm not sure. I don't remember for sure. But it appears to be a Roman province. Alright, so, and then Festus was apparently, Felix rather, was recalled to Rome. Well, it just says when Felix was succeeded as procurator, having already detained Paul for 2 years, he left him imprisoned as a favor to the Jews. And then on returning to Rome, Felix was accused of using a dispute between the Jews and Syrians of Caesarea as a pretext to slay and plunder the inhabitants. More of his, wonderful kind of personality. But through the intercession once again of his brother, the freedman Pallas, who had great influence with now the emperor Nero, he escaped unpunished, and Porcius Festus succeeded him as procurator of Judea. Randy?
I'm just a little bit confused.
as are we all.
Acts 24:24.
Yeah.
As Felix arriving with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess.
Yeah.
That's a different Drusilla?
Well, that's what I'm thinking is this article here talks about that his first wife was, this one says, was Drusilla of, and it looks like it's Mauritania, but it's not, I don't think it's the Mauritania that we know, because I think Mauritania is an island off of Africa somewhere. Oh, no, because it says Drusilla of Mauritania the Elder, so that's somebody's name. But then it says that his second wife was Drusilla of Judea, so which must be this one. So whether it's his first wife or his second or his third, it's difficult to know because nobody's really keeping track of these people.
Which Drusilla was the daughter of Herod Agrippa the First?
This one was.
This one. Yeah.
So this, her brother is Herod Agrippa the Second.
Yeah, right.
So
I think it's her
Felix,
brother.
Felix and Drusilla leave. Festus comes in. Festus sends Paul to Agrippa.
Agrippa comes down to discuss with them all the.
But Agrippa is actually Drusilla's brother, and he's got his other sister Bernice with him. And Bernice is there. Listed in, I just saw it, chapter 25, 23.
Yeah, right.
So Agrippa's got his sister Bernice with him, and his other sister was Drusilla, who was there before he was married to Felix.
What you said. Okay. Yeah, let me see if I can quickly pull up this article that I have, because it's got a little family tree of Herod's. It's not as complex as the one that we looked at previously. What is this? Herod Agrippa. All right, so if I look for Herod Agrippa II and just go to this Wikipedia article, assuming it comes up. Oh, okay. There's a family tree here. The Herod that we're talking about is this Herod Agrippa II, right? And so there's all the people that you mentioned. There's Mariamne again. I mean, she occurs almost as often as Cleopatra does in the family lines of the Ptolemies. I mean, by the time we left off with the last Cleopatra we looked at a number of lessons ago, we were up to like Cleopatra number 7, right? Herod Agrippa the First and his wife, somebody, had these children, Herod Agrippa the Second, Bernice, Mariamne, and a Drusilla, another Drusilla. I think it's, so there's some more Drusillas. So I think this second, is that what we came to? The second wife that was named Drusilla was this one, the daughter of Herod Agrippa I. And so she was married to whoever we were just talking about, Felix, right? Yes, it's so complex. Yeah, so you can see other Mariamnes up there. But so it all started off with Herod the Great up there, okay? They had Aristobulus and Bernice, who's the daughter of Salome, and then they had Aristobulus, who married Bernice, and they had all of these people, Mariamne the Third, Herod the Fifth, Herodias, Herod Agrippa the First, and Aristobulus Minor. And then the only person that we were interested in this family tree was this Herod Agrippa the First, because he had Herod Agrippa the Second. Either his second or third or fourth or fifth wife was Drusilla the Judean, that's why it mentions that she was a Jewess. It's because she was related to these folks.
The family tree that you have up there, in our book on page 168, the Herodian family tree has that plus a little bit more detail.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's more detail in our textbook.
Because it identifies Drusilla as married to Felix. And
page 168?
168.
Okay. What lesson is that in?
In the old book. 42.
So our lesson book, page 168, then has a family tree that's got a little more detail than this. This one here, since the article is on Herod Agrippa the something, the second is just following the tree down to attack Herod Agrippa the second here. So that's why the one on page 168 has a bit more detail than this. That's how the relationships of Felix work here. So Felix, from 52 to 58 A.D., given that Felix was from 52 to 58 A.D., and then, Festus was from 59 to 62 A.D., and Paul was kept in prison by Felix for 2 years, that means that it appears that it's around the times of 56 to 58 A.D., that we're talking about here, about these 2 years of imprisonment. Now, this had already been, 20 years since the beginning of the book of Acts? Or was... Yeah, since the beginning of the book of Acts, right? But was it 10 years in Paul's travels, I think? Anybody remember? I don't know if we discussed just Paul's travels. I think we had mentioned about 20 and 25 years. But I think that was the whole story of the book of Acts up until this time. In other words, from the establishment of the church up until this time. So if it's indeed 58 A.D. and 20, yeah, so that would be in the 30s. That's about right, isn't it? That's the establishment of the church. Because of, if Jesus was born, nominally at zero, and then... he was supposedly around 30, as I recall, when he was executed. Then 20 years after that, then would make this about right. So in the 50s or something like that, mid-50s, late 50s now. All right, so this is sort of kind of lining up here, which is kind of helpful. Yeah, sort of works out. All right, so... Anyway, so in 24, of course, we have, if we go back to the beginning of 24, we have here that where they were just starting the first trial, as it were. Let me see. Oh. I'm sorry. This is where they took him to, what's his name, up in Caesarea. Who? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going too far. Claudius Lysias to the most excellent governor, Felix, right. So right here in verse 26 of chapter 23. This, of course, is where we learn who the Roman... captain of the guard is, Claudius Lysias. So they send him up to Caesarea, where Felix is, because that's where they their political capital is. And so in 24, we're starting the trial before Felix, when the people come up also, and then of course Paul is given the opportunity to speak, talked about Lysias, and then Paul, where is it, but 22? Right. Okay. So this is where the Jews petitioned Felix, is what it was, yeah. And then... when we right here one of these days, so that we're in the right place. Okay, so in verse 27 of Acts 24, when 2 years were fulfilled, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, desiring to gain favor with the Jews. Felix left Paul in bonds. And so then we have Porcius Festus coming down. Now, what do we know about Porcius Festus? It says here that he was a procurator of Judea from 59 to 62. So that's only about three-ish years that he was the procurator there. This Wikipedia article indicates that the exact time of his office is not known. It's a lot of these people didn't leave a lot of indicators of when they started and when they finished things. So there's a lot of debate about who started when and all that sort of thing. But they do have a comment here about Festus inherited all of the problems of his predecessor in regard to the Roman practice of creating civic privileges for Jews. Apparently there was something that they allowed the Jews to do that they didn't allow other people to do or something. This created apparently a lot of dissension with a number of people in Judea at that time. They made a comment here. It says, only one other issue bedeviled his administration, the controversy between Agrippa II and the priests in Jerusalem regarding the wall erected at the temple to break the view of the new wing of Agrippa's palace. And so if we go over here to, I've got Josephus Antiquities up here. So everybody heard of Flavius Josephus? A non-biblical character. So these writings here are extra-biblical. In other words, they're outside the Bible. But he was a historian that was from Judea and was taken as a slave, I guess, to Rome and got the attention of people there. And I think he came down with Titus, the Roman general, as I recall, but that's not particularly important. But down here in this paragraph 8 here, I think it is, no, 11 here. It's interesting to note this paragraph here that says that when King Agrippa went down to Jerusalem, that it says he built what Flavius Josephus says is a very large dining room in the royal palace and in Jerusalem near to the portico, whatever that was. But it turns out that this dining room and apparently a balcony or something that was around there looked right over the temple. So since this was a really spectacular view type thing, Agrippa thought this was great. So, but the Jews said, he's looking right into the temple. You can't do that because now you're looking at our sacrifices and all this. So they built a wall up on top of the roof of one of the buildings, and it blocked Agrippa's view. And Agrippa didn't like that. But apparently, they had to petition everybody. I mean, Agrippa either didn't have the wherewithal or didn't have the power to just go knock this wall down. And so they petitioned, I think as Nero, the Jews did, that we think we should leave this wall up because our religious traditions and such don't permit this heathen to look into our temple just because it's a cool view of the mountains or whatever. And So Nero says not only forgave them what they had done, but also gave them leave to let the wall that they had built stand. So, according to Flavius Josephus then, one of these big things that came up during the time of Porcius Festus was this horrible thing about building a wall in the temple so that King Agrippa couldn't see into the temple. And so apparently they managed to petition Nero and get him to allow them to leave it up. So I can't imagine how long that took. Because of the modes of travel and everything, we realize that it took Paul quite a time to get from Judea to Rome in his travels. So these people had to go up there and then come back to deliver the news that, yeah, the wall can stay. And I thought, if I'd have been Herod Agrippa, I'd have knocked it down long before then. But I guess he realized that. And of course, the thing is that he didn't know it at the time, but what's referred to as the Jewish Wars were coming up fairly rapidly now. And that's what eventually ended, you might say, the Jewish religion as far as being centered in Jerusalem, where the temple was destroyed and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, Randy?
He also had the same problem Pilate had controlling the mob, because if he's personally responsible for starting a riot, he'll have his head chopped.
Yeah, right. He'll have to answer for that. Exactly. So, yeah, and it seems when you look at that part of the world, and I don't know whether what the thing is, but many of the people over there seem to be highly emotional. That's what we found when we lived in Egypt, that there are a lot of emotional people around there. I guess you might say that they took their religion seriously, I guess, but they took it so seriously that they just got very so emotionally involved in this that there were many times that there were uprisings and riots and rebellions and things like that went on. So, but anyway, when we get to chapter about 25, we see now that, well, at the end of chapter 24, we see that Festus is now succeeding Felix. And Festus was not, as we've mentioned, a whole lot better. It says in here that during his administration, though, that's Porcius Festus, Jewish hostility to Rome was greatly inflamed by the civic privileges issue, whatever that is. I couldn't find anything on that. Feelings were aroused, which played an important part in the closely following Jewish War of AD 66. And so when was the temple finally destroyed? 70, right. And so after that, there was essentially no more Jerusalem as far as the Jews were concerned. I mean, it was essentially all gone. all right, so so Paul, then, as we go through chapter 25, he is asked by Festus to do what? Something that Paul rejects doing.
Go back to the court in Jerusalem.
Right. Go back to the court in Jerusalem. And what did Paul say? He says, I'm at the proper court right now. And so what did Paul do? Appeal to Caesar. And now, if just one of the regular Jewish people had done that, could they have appealed to Caesar? Yeah. All of their stuff would have been have to handle by the local courts, and if it was taken up to Felix or Festus, then they had the right of final determination, you know, off with their heads type thing. So, Randy.
It shows the providence of God in choosing Paul, a Roman citizen.
Yes, indeed.
If he wants to take the word of God to Caesar.
Yeah. What did he say to Claudius Lysias when Claudius Lysias says, "You're a Roman," and Paul says,
"How did they just beat him?"
That what?
How did they just beat him?
They're getting ready to flog him, I guess. And Claudius Lysias says, "Well, I bought my Roman citizenship with a large sum of money. How did you get to be a Roman?" And he says, I was born a Roman. They go, I think that's more better. So we see that's the case. And it's an interesting point. And I think that you're talking about the providence of God here in choosing a person that is a Roman citizen. We see that Paul was not particularly hesitant to use his Roman citizenship to the advantage of preaching the gospel, right? So in the instance when the when Claudius Lysias in the barracks or I think the New Testament occasionally calls it palace, but whatever was there where the Romans were housed, if Paul had been just another Jewish citizen or whatever they call them of underneath the Roman thumb, then Claudius Lysias could have done what? He could have flogged him, right, in order to get the truth out of him, to find out why the Jews were trying to beat him to death. So it's a well-known fact that if there's a mob and they're trying to beat somebody to death, the person they're trying to beat to death is the guilty one. So that's, at least it certainly appeared that way, because the Romans didn't go down, according to the New Testament, go down with swords and staves and try to protect this man. What did they do? They went to this man and they bound him with two chains, right? And essentially dragged him up the steps to the barracks. So they were under the distinct impression that the person who was being beat to death by the mob was a person that was guilty. So as is sort of common with the Romans in their treatment of other peoples, it's guilty until proven innocent. You know, as far as they were concerned, all of those people were guilty until proven innocent. but it's part of Roman law that, to a certain extent, that Roman citizens anyway are innocent until proven guilty, because we see as we go through some of the texts of the New Testament, some of the procedural things of Roman law. So what were Romans permitted to do in a trial in a court of law?
Face their accusers,
right? Yeah, and so and we see a statement in there discussing that, about the fact that Roman citizens are permitted to face their accusers. But I think that if you're not a Roman, I doubt that you have that opportunity. 16. Joey, verse which? 16 of 20. 25. So 25 and 16. Yes, Joey.
If a lot of those laws sound familiar to us, there's a reason.
Exactly.
It's because that ultimately became English common law, and in the United States derives a lot of its laws from English common law. So this whole idea of what was proclaimed by Caesar all the way back then has trickled into other cultures and been handed out for centuries.
Yes.
A lot of these legal concepts.
Right. And actually, if we even go back further, and we look at that stele, or whatever it is, the Code of Hammurabi, from way back even hundreds, maybe a thousand years earlier than that, there were many of the principles of Roman and Greek law that were taken from that. I mean, it was just sort of a matter of course in that particular area. That, you know, and so this Hammurabi guy, whoever he was, he sort of codified some of these and set them down, and people saw these. But it was sort of a general principle, I think, for the way that laws were supposed to be handled. I mean, we can look at the Assyrian and Babylonian empires and think, well, I'm not sure I saw any of that in there. But, you know, but we're talking here about a subject population rather than the actual citizens of that particular kingdom. So it's very interesting, though, is that when you, and it's been pointed out numerous times, that the Bible is not a science book, but what it says about science is true. And many times it's a lead the fleet type thing. In other words, some of the principles that the Bible sets down were not principles that were accepted at that time as being factual about certain scientific relationships and things like that, but were found out to be true later on. Joey?
The way that you were treating Paul here kind of reminds me of the cliche you see in some of the John Wayne Westerns, where they say to him, "You can't hang him, he has another trial." And the response was, "Fine, give him a trial and then we'll hang him."
Yeah, that's right.
you see that cliche in Western movies, but that's really the idea, that the mentality that people had here with the way they treated Paul.
Right, we'll give him a fair trial, then we'll hang him. Right.
Verse 24 contains the phrase, stating that he should be examined by scourging.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, chapter 22.
That's 22. Okay, yeah. Well, that's one way to get the truth out of him, I suppose. was
22 and 23.
He examined by scourging. I thought, well, yeah. I guess the thing is that if you're going to scourge somebody, you can get a confession of anything out of him. That's my understanding anyway. Yeah. Okay, so what did you do? You know, all of these things. And of course, when they're taking him up the stairs to the palace or the barracks or whatever, Paul spoke to Claudius Lysias in Greek, right? And what did Claudius Lysias think that this guy was?
Egyptian.
Right. So Claudius Lysias thought that this guy was one of the fomenters of riot and rebellion in the city of Jerusalem, simply because, I guess, because these people were beaten to death. And he was surprised that this guy was actually a Jew. And he was surprised, number one, that he spoke Greek. And then, what does Paul do? After that, he switches right over to Hebrew, and he speaks to these guys, the mob down there, Joey.
Historically, do we know who they were confusing Paul with?
It says,
isn't this this guy?
2138, it says, then you're not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up the revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Well, who are they confusing Paul
with? I think historically there's, a record of that.
Yeah.
That's where we get the word from.
Yeah. Oh, I see. The 4,000 men of the assassins. Yeah.
Came to mean somebody who killed them.
Yeah, in 2138. Yeah. Are you not the Egyptian?
That was a cult.
Right. And then there was, I'm trying to remember it now, wasn't there one other people hypothesizing that he was other people? Or that was Jesus in his trial. They brought up a couple of other folks it was when, I remember his name. He said, if this man is of God.
That was Gamaliel, wasn't it?
Gamaliel, yeah.
He said, you know, like the other guy.
We can do, yeah, he was like the other guy that stirred up all these people in the desert and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, they're mistaking Jesus for somebody, they're mistaking Paul for somebody else, it'd be interesting to find out if they ever caught this Egyptian. But
they didn't have the internet.
They did not.
They communicate.
Yeah, it's difficult for them to communicate. These guys all lived in the desert. They didn't want to go there anyway. So are you the Egyptian? No, I'm not the Egyptian. So what was I talking about? Festus. So, yeah. And then, when Paul, then, and this is now we're in like 25-ish, this is when Paul has had a hearing before Felix. Felix leaves him there for 2 years, hoping to get a bribe, hoping to get money. I'm not sure why he thought that Paul was rich with dough and would be able to give him a bribe. I was going to look up the penal system in the Roman area and see how things work, but you'll remember that when we get further on down where Paul is finally in Rome, where do they put him? In his own hired house, right? So they have a soldier with him, and he says, and it appears that he's chained to him somehow. But as I recall, some of the ancient systems of judgment were such that you were thrown into prison. If you wanted to eat, you had to have somebody buy your food for you. You had to have your relatives or friends or somebody, bring you a morsel of bread. They weren't going to throw you anything. And so if you were put in prison and you died before your trial, well, that's just the way it goes. You ran out of money and you ran out of friends. That didn't work very well. So it's interesting to note that when we look at the system of justice, quote unquote, in the Romans, that even Paul, a Roman citizen, though he was under arrest while he was in Rome. He was allowed to have his own apartment, but the soldier needed to stay with him. But people would come and go, and he had pretty much freedom. It was more like he was under house arrest than anything else. So, Randy.
I was just going to note that there was a church in Rome.
Yes.
Or brethren that could provide the income for quarters.
Right. And we see that, I certainly don't want to spoil the story because none of us have read it before, right? But when Paul finally touches onto the shores of Italy, he's quite a ways really below Rome. And it appears that they either take go on foot the rest of the way to Rome, or they kind of leapfrog up there a little bit, and they end up at this Three Taverns place or something like that, and the brethren came and met him there. And so there must have been a number of brethren around up in Rome itself, of course, and then perhaps down further toward this Three Taverns area. And so once again, we see that there are brethren that hadn't specifically really been pointed out, at least in the book of Acts, up until this time. Though when we read the book of Romans, we see that Paul, who wrote supposedly the book of Romans from where and when? From Corinth. On this third journey, right. Essentially just before he went back to Jerusalem to take the tribute from the churches there back to Jerusalem, he wrote the book of Romans. And obviously he is talking to the Christians in Rome. And you read through the book of Romans, you see that it's obvious that there's a number of people there that are Christians in Rome. So once again, if we look in the book of Acts, we see that even though we're able to go to other books and find churches named or churches implied or things like that, and realize that as Paul went through these areas of Asia Minor, and then later on as he goes to Rome, that there were just Christians all over the place. It's really, do we want to call it thrilling, or it's encouraging to know that the gospel really spread quickly over these areas. And there were people apparently all over the place that were Christians. So that's nice to know that that's the case. Well, quickly, talking about Herod Agrippa II. Herod Agrippa II comes down while Paul remains in prison in what city?
Caesarea.
But now Festus is the procurator. And Festus was the one whose wife was somebody. Did we know her? I don't know if we had any information about that. Yeah, I don't have any. But there's a comment here about from whomever wrote this Herod Agrippa II article on Wikipedia. It says, in 53, he was made king over the territories previously governed by Philip and Lysanias by Claudius, surrendering Chalcis to his cousin Aristobulus. Herod Agrippa celebrated by marrying off his two sisters, Mariamne and Drusilla. Flavius Josephus, the guy who we just talked about, the Jewish historian, repeats the gossip that Herod Agrippa lived in an incestuous relationship with his sister, Bernice. And so, if we go back to that Wikipedia article that I had up before that I think I still, yeah, that Bernice is Herod Agrippa's sister. Apparently, there's evidence that Herod Agrippa II had an incestuous relationship with his sister, Bernice. But you know, the person, of course, who wrote the Wikipedia article says that this is just gossip. So I'm not sure we can know 2,000 years later, but the fact of the matter is that there's that Herod Agrippa II and Bernice came together to meet with what's his name, Festus, to hear about Paul, and he makes his defense then before all of them. All right. I think we've kind of left off essentially where Mickey left off with on Sunday. And when he gets back to the class on Sunday, we'll probably go ahead and start again at the beginning of chapter 25. Thank you.